Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Welcome to Let's Talk Business with the BCCI. I am Christo J. Paul with you for another riveting episode. It's part two of full free movement of CARICOM nationals, the opportunities and challenges for businesses in Barbados. With us today, we have our very special panel, Mr. Paul Innes, President of the BCCI. Welcome.
Thank you, Crystal J. It's always great to be here.
Yes, sir. David Commission, Barbados' ambassador to CARICOM.
Greetings. It is a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yes, sir. And Gladys Young, Assistant General Counsel, CARICOM Secretariat.
Good day to all. And yes, also a pleasure to be here.
Yes, yes. Quite an esteemed panel, as we're going to be diving into this very, very relevant topic. Now, in this episode of Let's Talk Business, well, in last episode, we began exploring the CARICOM free movement of labor, looking at what it means for individuals and businesses and the initial opportunities it presents for regional mobility. This week, we continue that conversation in part two of this series. Today, we're diving deeper into the benefits, the practical opportunities, and the challenges that come with allowing workers to live and work across CARICOM member states. The free movement of labor is part of a broader CARICOM initiative aimed at strengthening regional integration and boosting economic collaboration. It allows qualified citizens from participating member states to live and work across borders without the usual immigration restrictions. While this opens doors for talent mobility and business expansion, it also raises important questions about workforce planning, social services, and how countries like Barbados can balance opportunities for growth with protecting local labor interests. As we continue our exploration of CARICOM's free movement of labor, we'll be looking beyond the basics of who can move where and instead examine how businesses can strategically plan for a more mobile workforce, identifying emerging regional markets, and strengthen cross-border partnerships. We will explore also how governments and industry groups can support integration, ensure fair and efficient labor practices, and foster innovation and entrepreneurship in a more interconnected Caribbean economy. This episode aims to provide listeners with actionable insights and a forward-looking perspective on making free movement work effectively for workers, businesses, and national development. On today's program, we introduced our guests, Barbados Ambassador to CARICOM, Mr. David Commission, as well as the President of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Mr. Paul Innes, and Assistant General Counsel at the CARICOM Secretariat, Ms. Gladys Young. Together, we will examine how countries like Barbados, Belize, Dominica, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines are implementing this framework and what it means for businesses, workers, and the economy as a whole. Now we begin our questions first with Mr. Commission. Mr. Commission, sir, as ambassador, what does CARICOM's free movement labor mean for Barbados, and why is it such an important step for the country and the region?
Thank you, Crystal G. Well, I think first of all, we have to be very clear in what we are talking about. CARICOM introduced the concept of the CARICOM single market and single economy with a revision of the original Treaty of Chagaramas way back in around 2002. And central to building the single market and single economy was the free movement of labor, free movement of skills. So we have two regimes. We have the CARICOM Skill Nationals Program, where we are now at 12 different categories of skills. And this is where We invite skilled nationals from across the community to get their CARICOM skill certificate and to be able to move to any CARICOM member state to work and live indefinitely without the need for a work permit. We also have the right of establishment program, where if you're moving to set up a business, you're welcomed. You bring your investment, you bring your skills. So those two programs have been in place for, I guess, approximately 15 years now. Gladys can correct me if I'm not quite right. But what we embarked upon more recently goes beyond simply movement of labor or movement of skills. In 2023, the leaders agreed that we are going to move to full freedom. Freedom of movement of people, whether they're workers, whether they're persons with certification and skills, or whether they're babies, they're retired persons, you know. So we are moving to full free movement of Caribbean people. That decision was made in 2023. However, in 2025, when a decision was made to start that program, on the 1st of October of this year, only four member states indicated that they were ready to proceed. And those are Barbados, Dominica, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Belize. So to be very clear, what we are embarking on the 1st of October is that full freedom movement of people going now beyond workers and skills to people in general. And we are starting with these pioneering four countries, but the expectation is as those four countries consolidate the regime, that other member states will join in the months and years ahead. So what does it mean for CARICOM? Well, we understood that we cannot face this big competitive world as separate entities, that we have to create of our Caribbean region one single domestic space. We have to be able to bring together our resources, our human resources, our capital resources, our skill, our businesses. We have to make our region one seamless area in which our people can move, and ultimately we can bring resources together for the purpose of production, economic production, entrepreneurship, business expansion. So this is what it has always been all about. And this most recent development is where we are taking it one step further. And when that full freedom of movement regime is ultimately fully built out, then we will have accomplished that goal of that single domestic space in which all of our people, including workers and entrepreneurs, can move freely.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Now, when it comes to Barbados and the steps that are being taken, how is Barbados preparing for the full implementation of free movement? And what lessons from other CARICOM states could help make the process smoother for both workers and businesses?
In terms of this new development, where we are moving now beyond just the movement of skilled workers or the movement of entrepreneurs who are bringing a new business, to all people, we have learned, we being Barbados, Belize, Dominica, St. Vincent, we looked very closely at the OECS countries, because the countries of the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, they have been operating a full free movement regime for some time now. So when the decision was made in July of this year that the four countries were going to move to this new system by the 1st of October, we immediately started to hold consultations among ourselves, the four countries, And in our very first Four Nation consultation, we invited the OECS Secretariat to be there as a resource to share with us the OECS experience, so that we were not starting from scratch. We could learn, look at the best practices that the OECS developed. So over the past July, August, and into September now, we have been having stakeholder discussions. We in Barbados, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, we have held many discussions with the Barbadian stakeholders, all of the government agencies that are going to be involved and that have to play a role to roll out this new regime. But at a regional level as well, we have been meeting with the CARICOM Secretariat, particularly the CSME unit that is located right here in Barbados, and with our fellow CARICOM governments, Dominica, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Belize. So we had a very major meeting yesterday. All of the parties came together, the four countries, the CARICOM Secretariat, our relevant CARICOM institutions like CARICOM Impact. And we came away from that meeting satisfied that we are putting the fundamental administrative procedures in place, that we have that covered so that we can commence on a very effective start of the regime on the 1st of October. So we are confident that come the 1st of October, all four countries are prepared for this and that we will have a very smooth rolling out of the regime.
The 1st of October, that sounded before like it was so far away, but now it's just a few days away. Now, beyond economic growth, what social and cultural impacts do you anticipate from a more mobile workforce? And how can governments support positive integration for CARICOM nationals moving to Barbados?
Well, we have to look at the specifics of what we are engaging upon come the 1st of October. The reality is that Barbados has had a long relationship with St. Vincent and the Grenadines and Dominica. And natives of those countries are not new to Barbados, you know, in coming migrants from those countries. And in fact, we have fairly significant Vincentian and Dominican communities right here in Barbados. In fact, we have national associations. We have the St. Vincent and the Grenadines Association of Barbados. We have the Dominican Association of Barbados. So where these two countries are concerned, nationals who move to Barbados under the new regime, we are fairly confident that they will have support structures here in Barbados. It will not be any culture shock for them. It will simply be an intensification of processes that already exist in Barbados. The new factor for us is really Belize. Belize is in the Western Caribbean, it's on the Central American mainland. It is some 2,000 miles away from Barbados. I think it is fair to say that the Barbadian people don't know Belize well, and similarly, the Belizean people don't know Barbados well. We haven't had much intercourse. So I think where Belize is concerned, the national authorities in both Barbados and Belize are going to have to make a very concerted, intentional effort to get our people to know each other better. You're also going to have to work on the travel routes, because right now it's very difficult for a Barbadian traveling from the extremity of the Eastern Caribbean to get to Belize, which is on the other side, the Western Caribbean, and likewise a Belizean to get to Barbados. So I think where Belize is concerned, we are going to really have to work on that if we are going to reach a stage where appreciable numbers of Barbadians and Belizeans move between the two countries. But so I think the point needs to be made that we are commencing with a very modest full free movement. Very modest because it is only 4 of the 15 full CARICOM member states. But what we are doing is very important because these 4 are actually making the start. These 4 are going to be the pioneers that will work out all the kinks, will hopefully perfect the regime so that the others can join. But if from the standpoint of Barbadian businesses that are looking to fill skills gaps, that are looking for sources of skilled workers coming in, et cetera, I think that we have to look towards when the system is fully implemented, because the movements between the 4 pioneering countries, realistically, I mean, if we look at the historical data, the movements of persons is likely to be relatively modest, and certainly modest in relation to the skilled workers that I know the Barbadian business class would like to attract to Barbados. So I would say, from the perspective of the Barbadian business class, at this point, you are probably still more focused on the skills national regime, which is the regime that embraces all of the CARICOM member states, rather than the more limited full free movement regime. More limited because even though it applies to everybody, it is in these initial stages restricted just to 4 member states.
Yes, indeed. So given all you've said, what then about public safety and the impact on public safety? What plans or measures are being considered to ensure that free movement does not compromise security in Barbados and the wider CARICOM region?
Well, yes, you know, I don't think that the Barbadian people need to worry too much about this. The reality is that the Caribbean Court of Justice has made it clear, and they made it clear in the historic Shanique Myrie case, that there are 2 overarching principles of community law that apply to all CARICOM member states, and they're these. That there's a principle of law that, regardless of what free movement regime is put in place, that each member state will still have the right to refuse entry to an incoming national if that person realistically constitutes a threat to the national security of the host country, the national security, the public morals, the public safety of the host country. Generally, if that person is a criminal, has a criminal record that is of a magnitude that suggests that they are a threat, the host government has the right to refuse entry, or if the person is allowed in, the host country has the right to evict them. The second principle is that each CARICOM government has the right to refuse an incoming national who is likely to become a charge on the public purse. That is likely to become a welfare case. So the CARICOM arrangements are very clear. We want movement of our people, but we want healthy and holistic movement of our people. We want people who will be coming in not to be a threat, not to be a burden on the society, but to be a positive contributor to the society. So how do we accomplish this? Well, many years ago, CARICOM, I think back in 2007, set up an institution called CARICOM Impact, CARICOM Implementation Agency for Crime and Security. And Impact is headquartered in Trinidad and Tobago. Impact is the CARICOM institution that has responsibility for security matters, for intelligence gathering, for informing and advising CARICOM governments about national security threats. And IMPACTS has two sub-agencies, the Regional Intelligence Fusion Center, which is also located in Trinidad and Tobago, and the Joint Regional Communication Center, which is located right here in Barbados. And one of the services provided by IMPACTS and its Joint Regional Communication Center is something called the Advanced Passenger Information Service. So this is where before a plane load of passengers or boat load of passengers lands in a CARICOM member state, IMPACTS already provides the national authorities with any information pertaining to any person who might be on that plane or in that ship who constitute a potential threat to the national security. So our citizens can rest assured that we, CARICOM, does have mechanisms in place to look out for our national security, to provide national authorities with the information required to keep out undesirable elements. And this system has been in place since 2007. This system has been working because, remember, under the existing CARICOM movement regimes, every CARICOM citizen, with the exception of citizens from Haiti who require visas to travel in the region, but every other CARICOM citizen has the right to move and has an automatic 6-month stay in other CARICOM countries. So in light of that regime that has been in place for many years, it is IMPACTS and its sub-agencies that has been helping to ensure that none of these free movement systems are abused and that national authorities have the information that they need to keep out unwanted elements.
Thank you so much, sir, for your comprehensive responses. Now, Mr. Paul Innes, as we look at driving business growth through regional integration, from a business perspective, how do you see CARICOM's free movement of labor impacting Barbados's private sector, both in terms of opportunities and potential challenges?
So thanks for the question, Mr. Jay. And, you know, I actually live this, given the responsibility I have for the company I work with. As you know, Sagicor, born out of and birthed out of Barbados, became a regional entity, now a global entity. So we know firsthand, and I know firsthand, I've had the benefit and pleasure of working across the entire Caribbean space, from Bermuda down to the Dutch Caribbean. And I would say to Ambassador Comejean, I also have the benefit of leading our business in Belize. So Barbados do have tentacles and experience with the Belize environment. And I'll speak a little about that when I speak about challenges, because there are several opportunities within the Belize environment, and we are certainly taking advantage of those opportunity in Belize. But I think from a, generally speaking, from a private sector perspective, it is a fantastic opportunity, because it will create and provide an opportunity to expand the talent pool. Some companies, regional companies, have been doing that, where you will see a mix, a nice diverse mix of nationalities working for Barbadian-based companies that are regional and are based either in Barbados or in some other region within the Caribbean. So I think the first opportunity will be a much wider talent pool. Both sides. So, for example, if we were to go back to the Belize comment that I made earlier, it also provides the opportunity for us to move talent in either direction. So, it will be possible for Barbadians who would not have otherwise had the opportunity to work within another jurisdiction, the opportunity to do so, and for us to do cross transference of talent. So there may be specific talents within the Belize market or Saint Vincent or Dominica, but let's think about Belize because it's 2,000 miles away. And it actually creates an opening door where opportunities for people in terms of their development becomes real. And I have personally been able to benefit in that way during the course of my professional life, right? So I became who I am through the various experiences, whether it was working in Cayman Islands, Jamaica, Bahamas, Bermuda, and it makes for a rich Barbadian professional. So the benefit of being able to expand the talent pool and expand the markets that we can now operate in and create that larger economic space for me is an exciting opportunity and something that we should embrace. I think it will open competitiveness within our various markets as well. And our businesses will have to. I would recommend that we continue to embrace the global competitiveness or the regional competitiveness of our industries and the economic space, because I think we would need to be able to adapt to the regional market space. So for local businesses, it provides the space now for us to consider who we can partner with. So look at opportunities around how can we expand by partnering with others within the Caribbean space. The ambassador would have spoken about how we can realistically make our space a space that we can freely and easily move to actually engage and do business. And, you know, every time you talk about CARICOM and the free movement of people, I can't help but go back to my experience and memory of living in the US and how free and easy it is to move from one state to the other without issues in the Caribbean. That is not the case. It is so difficult at times to move within the Caribbean space. I still feel so. I actually have responsible for the entire EC business that we operate in. And there are territories that I go into and I feel like a stranger. I feel as though I'm someone from Mars. And sometimes when I look and observe that what I would consider foreigners, not from within our space, can freely move through. But I'm stuck at immigration with a thousand questions around who I am, where am I going? And I said, I'm working for Sagicor, you know. It just doesn't make sense. So from a business perspective, when we then get into the challenges, the regulatory framework within the Caribbean needs to be fixed because it is difficult at times trying to do business within the Caribbean space.
Thank you for listening to this discussion on full free movement of CARICOM nationals, the opportunities and challenges for businesses in Barbados. This has been part two. Listen next week for the continuation of this discussion. We thank our guests, Mr. Paul Innes, President of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, David Comichong, Barbados's Ambassador to CARICOM, and next week we'll also hear from Gladys Young, Assistant General Counsel, CARICOM Secretariat. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.